7:30 هلا كل مغرب. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم بسنته يوم الدين، أما بعد. As we stopped last Thursday on the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, and we said that where we stopped was that Yusuf alayhi salam goes into the jail, and in the jail he is not sad or depressed and frustrated that, oh, I have to live in this jail for so many, because of innocence. Rather, we see that he starts giving da'wah, he starts talking to two people who entered in the jail with him. And those two people saw dreams. They came to him asking about the interpretation of the dream. But he did not tell them the dream right away. He said that he started giving them da'wah and informed them who he is, who's his father, where did he come from, like as an icebreaker, as an introduction. And we stopped on verse number 40. Today we'll continue from verse 41 and onwards, where we see Allah SWT tells us, يَا صَاحِبَ السِّجْنِ أَمَّا أَحَدُكُمَا فَيَسْقِي رَبَّهُ خَمْرًا وَأَمَّا الْآخَرُ فَيُسْلَبُ فَتَأْكُلُ الطَّيْرُ مِنْ رَأْسِهِ خُدِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. Verse 41, Allah SWT is informing us that Yusuf alayhi salam, having the miracle of having the ability to interpret dreams, not just, this is the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Yusuf alayhi salam was given a special miracle of not just interpreting dreams that you see while you are sleeping, but dreams even while awake. So that was the beauty, that if somebody would say that I saw this vision while he's alive, while he's awake and he's walking, he sees a vision, a graphic image or something, and he comes to Yusuf alayhi salam, Yusuf alayhi salam can tell him right away. This is the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. And so here he says to the two prison, as we said last time, that one of the person in the prison, he saw that he is pouring wine, khamr, alcohol, to the king. And the other one, he sees that, oh, jazakallah, jazakallah. May Allah make you a hafiz, inshallah. Pause. So, one person saw the dream that he is giving a jar of alcohol of pouring into a cup for the king, and the other one sees that he is birds are coming and eating from his head. So he gives the interpretation that Yusuf al-Islam, he says that one of you, the one who saw the pouring of the alcohol, you'll be going into the palace, you'll be appointed over there, you'll be working with the king, and you'll be the pourer for the king's alcohol. You know how the kings, they have cups and they are, in ayashi, in luxury, and they're drinking. So he'll be like the servant, direct servant for the king, which is a big thing. Because you could be a servant in the palace in some other ordinary room, but he is seeing a dream that he's a special servant. He's right there on the right side of the king, and he is always pouring him. So when somebody is pouring the drink for the king, that means they're very close to him. They have a job that is very close, face to face with the king. The other person, he sees that the birds come and eat. They eat so much that they eat from his head. He gives him the explanation. And the other person, you, what will happen? That you will be crucified. And for crucifixion, you have to be on a stick. So what's going to happen? You'll be on a stick, your hands with nails, and that's it. And birds will come and eat off you. This person, he got shocked. And he said, what? You're giving me an interpretation of dream that it's talking about my death, my end. There is nothing good in the dream. It's a very bad thing. But Yusuf is saying, look, don't argue with me. You came to me, you asked me what is about this dream. Here it is. That's what Allah says. فَقُذِي الْأَمْ, meaning the Amr is decided. I didn't come after you. You came after me. You asked me about dream. You told me the dream. Here is my interpretation. I have this miracle. I have this quality. You want to take it? Take it. You want to leave it? Leave it. Don't argue with me. قُذِي الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. تَسْتَفْتِي is stifta, meaning that Amr, the affair is decided about whom they came to ask Yusuf. Not that Yusuf chased around. Because this shows, as the Mufassirin said, this shows that when they heard this dream thing, they got very angry. upset. What is this? You're talking about me being crucified and birds coming eating my body so much that everything. So then he didn't argue with him. Yusuf Islam is showing his manners, his etiquettes in the prison. He didn't want to argue with him. He said, this is the decision, that is it. You know, assalamu alaikum. And then he turns, in the next ayah, Allah tells us that Yusuf Islam turns to the person that will be the king. وَقَالَ الَّذِي ذَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا. The word Allah uses najin, najat. Najat meaning free, successful. So Yusuf Islam turns to the person who he knows from the dream. Based on the dream, he knows that he's going to be the pourer of wine or alcohol for the king. So he turns to him. And he doesn't tell him or addresses him. How he addresses him? He addresses him, and you, the one who's going to be successful. Meaning what? The other person is unsuccessful. His dream is talking about his death very soon. So he's gone. He's going to be finished from this life. He's unsuccessful. And when the one who's successful, he's going to end up in the palace. So he turns to him for what? What does Yusuf al-Islam turn to this person for what? Yusuf al-Islam is thinking by now that I have interpreted a dream for them. I've done a favor to them. He hasn't charged any money. He hasn't taken anything. So he's saying, since I've given them a favor, let me turn to the person who's going to be to the king, with the Malik. And he turns to him. Najim min huma izkurni anda rabbik. He says to that person that, look, you will be freed from this prison, and not only will you be freed based on your dream, you'll be free, and then you'll be getting a very good job. It's like coming out of from incarnation, from incarceration, and getting a very good rehabilitation, getting a job. So he says, when you are free and go and get a job with the king, izkurni anda malik anda rabbik. Remember me or mention me, meaning Yusuf ibn Yaqub, mention this in front of me. What is he really saying? Yusuf is saying, look, since I gave a favor to you, you do me a favor. When you go in the palace and you're working with the king and you're pouring the wine for the king and the king is drinking, you'll be so close to him, tell him, oh king, there is a person in the jail, his name is Yusuf, and he's in trouble. He wants freedom. This is what Yusuf is saying. Can you imagine? I mean, Yusuf al-Islam wants his freedom. Here, the Muhasirin say, here, Allah is showing his human nature. He's human being like you and you. Nobody likes prison. Remember last Thursday we said that Allah is saying in the ayah, he said that, Ya Rabbi, as-sijnu ahabbu ilayhi, that, oh my Allah, oh my Rabb, the sijn, the prison is better for me, I love that more than the problem that the women are, because the fahisha. He said that, of course, but now he's showing his true temperament. He said that at that time, here in the prison, now that he's living in the prison for so many years, he wants to get liberated, free from it. So now he says, he got an idea, thought. Many of the Muslims say, where did he get this thought from? Of course it's him. It's his thought, but it's with the permission of Allah. He gets a thought, meaning here is a test of Yusuf al-Islam. This ayah is a very important ayah because it is telling us that, look, Anbiya of Allah, the prophets of Allah, are ma'soom, innocent. They don't make sins, they don't make mistakes. But they might have, because they're a human being, they're not an angel or an alien, they might have errors in judgment. Having an error is not a big thing, it's not something that is out of ordinary. In fact, error proves that you are a human being. Otherwise, if you were an angel or a god or a super being, you would never have even errors. From the philosophy point of view, we have to understand the difference between sins, mistakes, faults, errors. Error does not mean that you have a deficiency. Error means you had a poor judgment at that time. Faults, mistakes, and sins implies you have a deficiency. Because the prophets of Allah are ma'sumin, innocents, so they don't have sins, they don't have mistakes, they don't have faults. But they can have possibly errors in judgment. Now the Rasulullah, the biggest lesson we learn about him in the Quran is the Surah Adasa. Allah SWT talks about Adasa wa tawalla and ja'ahu al-a'na. He turned and he frowned. The first ayah of that surah is Surah Adasa. Adasa wa tawalla. He frowned and he turned. And ja'ahu al-a'na. Why he frowned and why he turned? Because a blind man came to him. Who? Abdullah ibn Maktum. He came asking Rasulullah SAW about deen, about da'wah, Islam. And Rasulullah SAW said, you know, he looked at him and said, this is a blind man, I'm busy right now. At that time, Rasulullah was busy with the leaders of Quraysh, the elite. They were all mushrikeen, they were all kuffar. But the philosophy of Rasulullah was, again, judgment. That if I, management judgment, that if I convince these people, they become Muslim, their whole tribes will become Muslim. So you have mass exodus of Islam. And he had the poor judgment, error of judgment in the sense, that this blind man, if he's coming to me at this time, I'm being disturbed. So he frowned by looking at him. That Allah is telling Rasul Salam, he's doing tanbih, he's doing tazkir, reminder, and through that reminder Allah is reminding all of the Muslim Ummah and every reader of the Quran till the Day of Judgment that look, this is not the way. The way is that if someone comes to you thirsty for knowledge of Islam, he or she has more importance, more value. Turn to him. That blind man, that in the surah, the later ayats, Allah says, blind man is the one who is the true seeker of knowledge, true seeker of guidance. Turn to him. And not these elite class Quraysh, because they don't have any. And that's the same thing here, that Yusuf Islam, being a human being and still being a prophet, he feels inside that, look, maybe I have a chance, maybe I have an opportunity. I have told him the dream and he's going to be so close to the king, so he can be pouring the khamar, sharab, alcohol, and say, hey, king, there's a young boy in the prison, his name is Yusuf ibn Yaqub, release him. So that's why he told him, requested him, اذكرني عند ربك فأنساه الشيطان ذكر ربه. Look at the ayats Allah says. Allah says, أنساه الشيطان, that man who got liberated free from the prison, the one who went to the king and he was pouring the thing, he forgot. أنساه الشيطان, shaitan made him forget, oh, there is Yusuf. So then what does Allah say? فلبث في السجن بضع سنين. Because that person forgot to mention to the king that, oh, there's a young boy, Yusuf, in the jail, free him, because he asked me to, you know, sifarish, basically saying, you know, recommend me, shifa, recommendation. But he forgot to recommend. Who made him forget? For Allah is saying, ansahu shaitan. Shaitan made him forget. In other words, why didn't Allah, you can have a valid question, why didn't Allah say, for ansahu Allah, Allah made that person forget? Because there are sometimes Allah makes you forget things, right? But the purpose over here is saying shaitan. Allah is saying, Allah does not make you forget good things. Allah makes you forget bad things. Such as your sins, your mistakes, your bad deeds, your bad words. I mean, whatever you did in your past history, whatever your age is now, if you recall every single bad thing you did, you might just remember the recent past. You remember 10 years ago what sin you did? What mistake you did? No. You remember 15 years ago you cursed somebody? No. Why? Allah made you forget. Allah makes us forget the bad things. We have a tragedy sometimes. Okay? We have a tragedy, an accident, something happens. Allah makes you forget that. Not right away, but healing over the past. Meaning forgetfulness sometimes is a ni'mah from Allah and sometimes is a test from Allah. Here, Allah is saying that shaitan made this person in the palace forget to mention about Yusuf Islam. As a result of that, because of that, Yusuf Islam remained in the prison. He cannot be freed. there's a hadith of Rasulullah, he said in a riwayah, when this happened, this incident when it happened, Jibreel Islam descended right in the jail to Yusuf Islam. And he said to Yusuf that, Ya Yusuf, man khalasaka min al-qatl min aydi ikhwati. O Yusuf, who saved you, emancipated, liberated you from the clutches of your brothers who wanted to kill you? They wanted to kill you. So Yusuf al-Islam in the prison, of course by now he has nadam, nadama. Nadam, nadama in Arabic means guilt. He has remorse. I mean pashimani, nadamat. So his head is there, he says, Allah. Then Jibreel Islam asks him another question. Okay. فَمَنْ أَخْرَجَكَ مِنَ الْجُبْرِ Who got you out of the well? He said, Allah. Okay. Third question. Jibreel Islam is asking question after question. And Yusuf Islam is like this, saying, Allah. Allah. This is a very interesting hadith that Rasulullah is saying. Because he's talking about his brother, Yusuf Islam. And he's teaching us something over here. Then he says, I mean, Jibreel Islam, again he asked him, فَمَنْ عَصِمَكَ مِنَ الْفَاحَشَ Okay, Yusuf, you say, Allah saved you from your brother's plot of killing you. Allah saved you from the well. Allah saved you from being a slave. Because remember, when he got from the slave, he became a slave. Now the Aziz released him. Who made that? Allah. Next question, he says, فَمَنْ عَصِمَكَ مِنَ الْفَاحَشَ Who saved you from the fahisha of the woman? When the woman had closed the door and she was there, anything bad could happen. Who saved you under? Yusuf alayhi salam says, Allah. And then he says to him, Jibreel alayhi salam, فَمَنْ صَرَفَ عَنْكَ كَيْدَ النِّسَاءِ After that, even that big thing, another big thing happened. when the women came to see you, they started cutting their hands, and each one of them began to, they began approaching you, and at that time, who saved you from the clutches of those women and their fahisha? He says, Allah. Because that's where Yusuf Islam said to the master, the Aziz, the prison is better than what they're calling me, so put me in the prison. So Aziz put him in the prison, he was innocent. So Jibreel Islam is reminding Yusuf Islam step by step by step, at each step, who saved you? Who saved you? Who saved you, Yusuf? Who saved Yusuf? He has nothing to answer except saying, Allah, Allah. Then Jibreel Islam says, فَكَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ رَبُّكَ. Then how did you leave your Allah? Big thing. Meaning Allah has sent Jibreel Islam at this moment in the prison. Allah has sent him as a lesson. Not for just him, but us even. Meaning, remember the last time you lost a job. Who got you the job? Allah. Remember the last time you were in some trouble and you made dua, you prayed. Who saved you from that? Allah. So then when you move from away from Allah and you go to some worldly person, bazaar, please help me, and you are literally asking bheek, you're begging that man, please, I beg you, I beg. No, we don't beg in front of a human being. The only being we beg, Allahu, Allahu, Allah. The insan, our asbab. We beg Allah, and then we make our asbab, and if there is some human being that can help us do the job, we just put in word to them, and look, can you do this thing for us? He'll say yes. But we're asking Allah, begging Allah. Not like they show in movies and dramas that people put their topi or their pagri, turban, they take this turban and say, this is my izzah, this is my everything in your footsteps. Please, master, save me. No. This is tazleel nafs. This is the insultation of the, not ego, but insultation of the human nafs. Allah is saying, you human being are a very self-respected, self-esteemed, moral person. Do not break yourself, morale, self-esteem, by deliberately putting yourself in the footsteps of some human being who is nothing but a makhluk, creation of Allah. Rather, wouldn't it be better if you put yourself on the ground in front of Allah? How? In salat. That's why we have salatul haja. Salatul haja is a nafil salat. You can pray anywhere between minimum 2 rak'ah up to unlimited, 100. You can pray 100 rak'ah salatul haja. Like after Isha, after the sunnah of Isha, before witr, from 10 o'clock to 4 in the morning, you could be just praying 100 rak'ah, every units of 2. Qul wallahu wahad, qul adhu rabbin nas, qul adhu rabbin nas, qul adhu rabbin nas. Keep going. You can pray. And every 2 rak'ah, you keep making dua, oh Allah, I have this haja, I have this haja. Oh Allah, I beg you. Allah, you are the master. Allah, you are the king. I'm guaranteed, definitely, by the 100th rak'ah that you finish praying, Allah will make that thing happen automatically. That is the message Jibreel alayhi salam is saying. فَكَيْفَ تَرَكْتَ رَبُّكَ. Meaning he asked him questions, one after another, who did this, who did this, who did this. Every answer Yusuf Islam is saying, Allah, Allah, Allah. So then the last question Jibreel Islam said, okay Yusuf, how did you leave your Lord, your Rabb, in the last moment? Meaning, Allah, you're claiming Allah saved you from everything. Couldn't that same Allah save you from the prison? Of course, why not? Then how did you tell that man, that look, mention to the king, why? For one second, split second, Yusuf Islam thought, the only one who can get me away from the prison, king. But there's a king of the kings, the sovereign, the master, Allah. And that is what the message, then Rasulullah said after that, that Jibreel Islam, Yusuf Islam, he didn't make tawbah, he said, astaghfirullah, tawbah. But Jibreel Islam said, this is your, well, we don't say punishment, Allah doesn't punish his, because some of us have written very bad things, negative things, that, oh, this was the punishment of Yusuf Islam, he ended up staying in the jail. No. What it is, that this is the lesson Allah gave to Yusuf Islam, that look, because of that error, you will now stay in the prison, bid'a-sineen. Bid'a-sineen in Arabic means anywhere from 7 and upwards, 7, 9, 11, odd numbers. But most of the scholars are of the opinion that he lived in the jail for 7 more years. After this incident happened, Jibreel Islam said, Allah has told me to inform you, you will stay here 7 more years, and that's it. After that, Allah will make his way to have you released. And that's what we see in the next section of the surah, that Allah from ghayb, from his own way, releases. When Yusuf alayhi salam wanted to get released, Allah said, no. Because you went to the king of the dunya? No. You are not, it's not your time to be released. Stay in the jail 7 more years. And then 7 years he lives there. Then Allah from ghayb makes his thing happening. and Yusuf Islam is liberated. So that was the message. Meaning the big message over here in Surah Yusuf for us, for me and you today in 2006 is Tawakkul ala Allah. Reliance, dependency on Allah. Never beg in front of a human being. Never stretch your hands in front of a male or female on earth. Never be like this in front of a male or female on earth. Never take up your hat or something, put it in front of a male or female on earth. Rather, beg like this, stretch like this to the King of the Kings, the Sovereign, the Master, the Owner of the Universe, Malikul Mulk Zul Jalal wal Ikram, Allah Ar-Razzaq Al-Qawiyyu Al-Mateen. And that is the message that Allah is giving to us through the Yusuf al-Islam's lesson. Now we see what happens. وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى. I mean, the reason, it's so amazing. If you know Arabic, your heart, your heart just comes out of your mouth. The ayah finishes that Yusuf al-Islam will stay bid'a 7 years in jail. The very next ayah, Allah talks about how I, Allah, freed my slave and my prophet Yusuf. The very next ayah, meaning there's not even a space of another ayah. The very next ayah, Allah says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ, and the king in the palace, the same king whom Yusuf al-Islam pleaded through an intermediary, the same king says, I saw a dream. So now the dream of the king is sabab for the najat of Yusuf al-Islam. See how Allah is showing his power? Because Allah is saying to Yusuf and to us, you thought that if you tell you the king, oh, Yusuf is in the jail, can you free him? And the king will say, okay, release Yusuf. No, no. Allah is saying, when I want it, I will force the king to beg you to come out. How? We see what happens. The king says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ إِنِّي أَرَى سَبْعَ بَقَرَاتٍ ثَمَانٍ يَأْكُلُهُنَّ سَبْعَ جَافٍ وَالسَّبْعَ إِلَى آخِرِهِ. The ayah is long. Let me paraphrase. The king says, I saw a dream. What dream he sees? He sees 7 cows, big fat. Thaman is the pool of Samin. Samin means a fat, like a fat person, obese person. And Wasaba Ajaf. Ajaf is the plural of Ajfar, which means skinny. Kaka, Sukri. Lakri, the fake example. So, 7 skinny cows, 7 fat cows. The dream you see is that the 7 skinny cows, they come, eat up the 7 fat cows. Oh, Ajib dream. Makes no sense. I mean, cows, 7, skinny one eating fat one. I mean, if you don't read the surah by now, you don't know what's going on. What kind of dream is this? Ajib. But this is what Allah is showing us, that when He wants to save His slave, when He wants to save His banda, His own person, He makes things happen. And I keep telling you that the number one thing that we learn in this whole surah Yusuf is memorize this. Allah is Musabbib al-Asbab. Allah is the creator. Musabbib meaning initiator, creator, facilitator, starter. You know, like you jumpstart the car that be dead. Who's gonna jumpstart? You put power, boom, it jumpstarts. Allah is the jumpstart of everything. Everything. Musabbib al-Asbab. Asbab, plural of sabab. Means. Human beings are only sabab, asbab. Somebody helped you, somebody got you a job in a company, they are not the one who gave you a job. They helped you because Allah wanted them to. Allah used them. Because a lot of them just come down on earth and say, hey, this is your job. No, He will create the means for you. But the problem is Allah is saying, you human beings, you think that the one who gave you a job, He is the Allah. He is my master. No. Master is up there. He created the means. Musabbib al-Asbab. So Allah says that this king, he sees this dream, that there are 7 skinny cows eating 7 fat cows, and then there are like 7 ears. You know what ear, like the place that you would store something like in a, to wrap it up, and then you store it. There are 7 skinny ears, sumbulat, okay, which is the plural of sumbula. One ear, there are 7 ears. So 7 skinny ears with 7 fat ones, they come onto that. So the dream has some pattern or similarity. 7 skinny cows eating 7 fat cows. 7 skinny ears come and assemble into 7 fat ears. And then the king says, Ya ayyuhal malak, O my notable men, meaning in the palace, as you know, back in the old days, when the king is sitting on his throne, he has some wazir here, he has some advisors here. He asks all his advisors in the lobby of the palace, tell me, this dream I saw, what is this? They say, we don't know about it. Look what they say. Qalu, they said, all the advisors together say, they said what? Adghafu ahlam. Adghath is the plural in Arabic of dhikr. Dhikr, The best way to explain today in America is mulch. You know mulch we buy to put in our garden in the yard? What is mulch made of? Chips, wood chips, you know, rubbish kind of, the one that you would never like. So it's like mixture of wood and chips and things like that. Mulch. So he's saying, the advice is that your dream is like, it's kind of like saying, I mean, it's very condescending way. Your dream is like a mulch, mixed, mukhandat, akhtalat. I mean, ajeeb tarah ka tumhara jo khad hai, ajeeb tarah ka wo mixture hai, cocktail, hamare samajh mein nahi aata. Hamare zehen se baat aa raha hai. I'm telling that to the king sitting on the throne, he'll fire him. But they say, we don't know. He thought that his notable advisors are like very big elite class. But they're saying, your dream, O master, is a cocktail. It's like mulch. I don't know nothing about it. And then, this ayah proves there's a hadith, weak hadith. It's a weak hadith, so we don't accept it. But there are many people who use this weak hadith telling people, I know especially in India, Pakistan, they use this hadith a lot. They say that whenever you see a dream, go right away to someone you know, because the first interpretation of the dream is the only right one. If you go after 1 week, 1 month, 1 year and say the same dream to somebody else, that interpretation that somebody gives you is not authentic. The authentic hadith is the first one. Because the hadith says, three word hadith, that the only interpretation of dream is the first one. The wording of the hadith is such as that. And so the scholars say this ayah also proves that the hadith is weak. Why? Because if it was the case that Rasulullah said authentically that the best interpretation or the only interpretation for a dream is the one that is the first given, here is the king. He's saying to his people, the notable Mala al-Ala, he's saying to his people, I just saw the dream, you are the first responders, you're the first people receiving the dream, I'm telling you, tell me. They said, I don't know, they're cocktail much. So that substantiates the claim that the hadith is weak, and that is not the case. In fact, the ulama say, you can even ask interpretation of any dream, even 10 years, 50 years, whatever the, as long as you know that the person you're talking to has the specific skill, like Yusuf Islam had, to tell. Because if you go to a layman, a novice, apprentice person, right after the next morning that you wake up and you see the dream, that person might give you a kind of a cocktail or something wrong, and you believe in that thing because of that weak hadith. Oh, this is the first interpretation, this is the right interpretation. No. The best interpretation and the authentic one is the one that someone authentic gives you, no matter of the time frame. Time frame does not make a difference. So they said, وَمَا نَحْنُ بِتَعْيُّ أَحْلَامِ بِعَالَمِينَ, and they said to the king, we don't know about the interpretation of dreams, this is not something. And then وَقَالَ الَّذِي نَجَى مِنْهُمَا. You know that person who was giving the alcohol, the wine, he remembered, who reminded him? Allah. See, when Yusuf Islam told them, remember me, make my sifarish, make my, you know, intercession to the king, Shaitan made him forget. Now that Allah wants Yusuf Islam to be out of the jail, he reminds him the king, he reminds him the brain of that person, says, yes, that person, he told me to, oh my God, 7 years I forgot. Then that person who's feeding, who's pouring the alcohol, he's saying, for 7 years I forgot, and that guy told me to ask a favor. वो अपने को कोस रहा है, यार मैं सात साल भूल गया, वो बेचारा अल्लाह का बंदा साल भर रह गया जेल मेरे वजह से. Now he's remembering, he said, oh yes, yes, master, I know someone who can interpret dream. Because 7 years ago, when you released me, master, from the jail, there was a man who asked me to talk to you. I forgot. But he doesn't tell that to the thing, to the king. So the king says, and go, find out the answer. So this person goes to the jail, he goes in there, and the ayah repeats itself. If he goes in the jail, he says, Yusuf, the king sent me today. And Yusuf al-Islam is like over here saying, what happened, man? I told you 7 years ago. Remember me in the king. He said, I'm very sorry, brother. I'm very sorry. I forgot 7 years ago. But now I've come. If you tell me this interpretation dream, I'm pretty sure that the king will release you. So he tells Yusuf al-Islam that there are 7 skinny cows with 7 fat cows. They eat them. There are 7 ears. They're very skinny and very thin. And there are 7 ears. They're very fat. Best way to give you the example of ears, sumbulat, you know sweet peas? Sweet peas, they come in a green, wo patle se, you know, matar jisme aate hai, cover mein. So some of them are very fat, thick, mote, and some of them very skinny, patla. So think of those sweet peas that come in a covering, in the chilka, meaning in the covering, like a banana. Some of them are very skinny and some of them are very fat. So he's talking about that 7 skinny ones are submerged on the fat ones. So he tells them, can you tell me what is this? Yusuf Islam, he sits back to relax. Of course, he has the mastery, the art. Imam al-Qurtubi rahimahullah, one of the Mufassirin of our past century, he says, look, if Allah has given you some, I mean, okay, this is a miracle, but apart from miracle, don't you agree, this is also a skill, an art, something that you can master. So he's saying that Allah bestowed Yusuf al-Islam with a skill, with the caliber, with some art, some hunar, as we get. He mastered it, and not only mastered it, he publicized it. That's how this person remembered that I know in the jail there's a person who has the skill. So Imam Qurtubi in his tafsir says that if you know in your life, in your career, in your hayah of this dunya, if you know that Allah has given you something good, some good skill, some good honor, hunar, some caliber, some art, master it and propagate it, tell it to others. Because Imam Qurtubi is saying, the philosophy of Muslim is, if I know something good, let me hide it. It is my secret, my copyright. If I tell another engineer, oh, Musayyab Arjai. If I'm a good doctor, I have a special art or skill of mastery, I tell another doctor, oh, he or she will get ahead of me. No, Imam Qurtubi says you are never hurt, you are never harmed if you share your knowledge, share your skill, art with others. Rather, you benefit more. Why? The same ears principle. He's saying, when you teach another person, that person will teach others, and that person will ask, how did you learn? Oh, I learned from such and such brother in New Jersey. Then that person says, oh, I learned such and such from this brother in Alabama. And the Alabama says, oh, I learned from New Jersey. Meaning it will always come back to you. You are the initiator of the ear, lady. So Imam Qurtubi says in his tafsir that if you are a Muslim, and you believe in Allah, and you know that you have some special skill, you are good at doing something. Like if you are a software programmer, you are a very good programmer. You teach some more people, you publicize it, you propagate it. No problem if you charge people to teaching that art, but you teach them. And you don't have the negative philosophy mentality. No, I need to hide this skill. Only I keep it so that the companies always come to me. I have my monopoly. No, this is a kafir mentality. The Islamic mentality is open, propagate, meaning building a dam and opening the dam. That is the philosophy here. If you build a dam, you're storing the water. So you're holding good. But if you don't build a dam, let the river flow, water will keep coming. And that's what he's saying. If you as a Muslim have a skill, propagate it, publicize it, it will not come back to haunt you, it will always come back to help you. And I have a real life example. Here in New Jersey, there's a brother, a good friend of mine, who went to college together in America, and he graduated and everything, he worked there. Recently, he lost his job. For 1.5 years, he has no job, laid off, he's crying here and there. You know how he got help? Finally, after 1.5 years, he got a job in Florida. Because he used to work in Microsoft. He's very good in certain Microsoft software and all that kind of thing. When he was working in Microsoft, he used to give training, sometimes free of charge. Because in Microsoft, he was earning like 120, 130,000. So he was good earning and everything. He said, I'm earning, but I know some skill. Let me teach some other Muslim brother. So what he will get? He'll get 4 or 5 people in the masjid, Maghrib to Isha, pray together, two salah. And between Maghrib and Isha, he will give them the PowerPoint presentation and everything, teach them skills. One of those people that he taught, they were in Florida, when they heard from someone else that this brother XXS is laid off, he doesn't have a job for 1.5 years, he called him. He said, you remember you taught me? And I just heard from someone else, meaning you did not tell me, I heard from someone else you're laid off, I have a job for you over here. Send me a resume, he gets the job. Now if this brother did not teach and just kept hiding his skill, you think he'll get a job? No. Allah is musabbibul asbab. Allah is saying, spread, propagate, spread, share, spread, share. You will always get benefit. And this is a real life example that we see in our life today. So he comes back to Yusuf and Yusuf says to him, look, the 7 skinny cows are 7 years of drought. 7 fat cows are 7 years, meaning he's saying the number of cows is the number of years. The fatness of the cow is the prosperity, luxury. Meaning 7 years you will have good crops, good agriculture, farming. You will have an exodus of, meaning more than what you need. If you need 5 tons of food for your country, you will be having 50 tons. So 45 tons is surplus that year. What are you going to do? Don't waste it. Why? So he asked him, how should I save it? He said, you know the 7 ears? Allah is telling you, save those 45 excess tons in a protective place. Don't put it in the storage. Why? Because some termite or some bad, you know, insect might eat the food and waste it. No, the reason for the ears is because it's a covering. Lapet ke bacha ke rakh, meaning protect the exodus extra food in a covering and protect it in a safe place so that when the 7 years of skinny drought years comes, you use those 7 fat ears. So subhanallah, I mean, look, there is no connection between famine, drought, good days or good crops in the dream. The dream only says about 7 cows, 7 ears, fat and skinny. These are the parameters of the... But how beautifully Yusuf al-Islam... In fact, Yusuf al-Islam is not just giving them the interpretation of the dream. Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah says, look, if he wanted, like if you go to any non-Muslim dream interpreter, they'll just give you, this is the interpretation of the dream. But Yusuf al-Islam is giving them one step forward, one step more, because he's from the Muhsineen. He's giving them the strategy, the skills, how to protect your investment, how to protect your crops. Don't just leave it in the store. He could have said, leave it in the store for 7 years. And when the drought years come, you bring it from the store back. But what happens in the 8th year when they go bring it from the store? Sare kide lage hain khane mein. To faida kya? There's no use. So that's why he's giving him strategy. He's giving them skills. And that's the good thing. He's not just interpreting the dream. Another thing over here, the scholars gave in tafsir, and we'll finish with that for today, that many people say dreams are only good if they're seen by Muslim. Many people say, if a kafir see a dream, don't even trust, don't even believe. Yusuf al-Islam is giving a interpretation dream on a kafir and a Muslim. The king is the mother. And which other prophet also was part of a kafir king's dream? This is a pop quiz. Which other prophet mentioned in Quran was part of a kafir king's dream? Like this kafir king over here, he saw a dream, Yusuf al-Islam came part of it because he interpreted. In the other kafir king, he also saw a dream, but in that dream, the prophet at that time, he would be part of that dream. Musa al-Islam, very good. Pharaoh saw a dream that from Beit al-Maqdis there was a big fire coming through the palace in Misr, Egypt. He got scared. He asked his people. Oh, by the way, it tells us that the people of Pharaoh, advisors, were at least some smart enough. They told him, look, from Jerusalem, there is going to be a prophet coming, which will be like fire, not in the bad sense, in the good sense, fire in the beneficial sense, which will come and harm your palace, but save the children of Israel. Here this dream, in the usual same thing, he's seeing a dream, his advisors, because they come there, they don't know nothing. And these Pharaohs, they knew, they told him the interpretation. So we see two prophets in the Quran that have a lot of similarity. Musa al-Islam, he did not interpret the dream, but he was part of the dream that Fir'aun saw. And who was Fir'aun? Kafir, not a Muslim. And his dream was such a true? Yes. Because Musa al-Islam liberated the Ben Israel, children of Israel. Same thing here, this is a kafir king, he sees a dream, doesn't know nothing about it. He asks a Muslim prophet, and he tells him, why? What's the message Allah gave him? If they really believe in the dream, and really believe in him as a prophet, they will believe in Allah, become Muslim. But Allah is saying, I give guidance to the one who wants it. That dream was a source of guidance for Pharaoh. He didn't believe. When he believed, when he's drowning in the water, he says, I believe in the Rabb of Harun and Musa. This dream is a source of guidance for this king. But he doesn't believe. He dies as a kafir. But his dream becomes a sabab of najat of a prophet, slave of Allah. Same thing. The dream of Pharaoh becomes a sabab najat for Musa al-Islam. There's a lot of similarity between the two. So here then, he says to him, after that, the person says, oh, the king also saw the dream that after these 14 years, the king saw 15 years of dream. 7 years of good times, good food, exodus, extra. 7 years of drought, famine, dryness, 14 years, 7 plus 7. The 15th year, he said that the king saw, there's a lot of rain, extra rain, thunderstorm, lot of rain. And then there's a lot of agriculture and there's a lot of food. What does that mean? He said, after these 7 plus 7, 14 years of testing time on the people of Egypt and Palestine, all this area, Allah will reward them. For meaning the 7 good years will come first, sequential, he's telling. 7 bad years will come next. And then the 15th year will be a year of reward, profitability. Meaning Allah will say, since you guys bared in patience and perseverance, you did the way you were supposed to, save the food and then use the food in the 7 years. So now the 15th year, Barish, rain after rain, Hariyali, good things, and the times become. He went back to the palace and said, Master, King, this is the interpretation of the dream. Oh, really? Who told you? There's a young boy, his name is Yusuf ibn Yaqub, he's in the prison. Oh, bring him. Good. He says, Summa Yaqub in the Amunfi, the next. He says, وَقَالَ الْمَلِكُ اَعْتُونِي بِهِ The Malik, he says, bring him, fetch him right now. This is a very beautiful interpretation. Meaning, he's excited, he's hyper, bring him right away. فلما جاء الرسول قال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله ما بال النسوة التي قطعن أيديهن إن ربي بكيدهن عليم. سبحان الله. When this ayah was revealed, Yusuf, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, ما أصبر على يوسف. And he began crying. He said, how patient is Yusuf alayhi wa sallam? What does he mean? What does our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You mean, Muhammad alayhi wa sallam is praising the sabr of Yusuf alayhi wa sallam. And he's crying, listening to this ayah. What is this ayah telling us? This ayah is saying, فَلَمَّا جَاءَ الرَّسُولُ And when the messenger came from the palace, Yusuf, I am the messenger of the king. The king has announced the decree to release you. Come with me and come to the palace. Yusuf alayhi salam says, no, I'm not going to go. Meaning he says, قَالَ اِرْجَعْ He said, go back, return. فَاسْأَلْهُ Go back and return to the king and ask the king, what is the issue of those women who cut their hands? Remember we said about that in the beginning? That thing became mashhoor. In the whole city, it became famous that some women, young women and old women, they saw Yusuf and they began cutting their hands. Meaning this guy is so dangerous, they cut their body parts. So it became a very famous thing. And what became famous? The famous became the tohma, the buhtan. The accusation became famous that Yusuf Islam is a very treacherous person. He tries to seduce women. And because they cut their hands, cutting hands is a big thing. So he, meaning in an indirect way, Yusuf Islam is telling the king, giving a message to the king, I'm not going to come out until I come out innocent, bari, free from all accusation and blame. Because if he didn't do this, what the Mufassirin say, if Yusuf Islam just accepted the messenger's word, oh, king is saying I'm free, okay, let's pack bags, let's leave. He will go out, people will keep saying, oh, this is the man who seduced the woman, this is the man, meaning the blame. You can see, even if he's innocent, but the people falsely accused him, and they say a bunch of lies becomes the truth. So Yusuf Islam was worried about his integrity and honor. He said, I will not leave the prison. This is the second time he's saying, I'm not going to leave the prison. First time, when he was free, he said, I love the prison, let me go in. And then the first time that he wanted to get out, he didn't get out. Because he asked the king of the world, not the king of the kings. Now the third time, which is his second time, he's being freed, he said, no, I'm not going to go out. Ajib. That's why Rasulullah became crying. He said, if I was in my brother Yusuf Islam's place, and some king's representative came to free me, he said, I will be rushing to get out. And that's why he cried, that I don't have the patience compared to Yusuf and how sabr. Why? Because he's saying Yusuf's son is a young boy. And you know that young people are less patient. It's not in a bad way. It's a natural human instinct, human thing. You can remember yourself. When you were young, and you were young with your parents, you were always impatient. I want this now. I want that bike right now. I want that Game Boy Xbox now. Now, Dad. Now, Mom. I can't wait for that weekend. I can't wait for my third market average grades. No, I want it now. But as you grow older and older, if you don't get something, you cool yourself down. Okay, maybe it's not in my nasib. Why? Because when you are in 20s, 30s, 40s, as you grow with age, your sabr increases. So Rasulullah was crying that look at this teenager, this young teenager. He has so much patience. The doors are open. Get out of jail. He said, no. If I have to leave, I will leave with innocence. Totally. No scar. Clean. And so that's why we'll continue next Thursday. How is Yusuf al-Islam freed clean? He is freed from the jail, but what does the king do? How does the king remove the accusations and blame? Like I said, I'll finish early today because I had to go and not feeling well. Alhamdulillah, we're feeling well because of the time now and because of Allah, not the time now.